Beersheba, and he went to Chora. Balaturim, the Balayatayisvis, Alatayra point out that there's something unique about Parshas Vayetze. That is, in all other Parshias, there's a psucho or a stuma, there's a little hefsik in the Sefer Torah of 3 Isias or 6 Isias. In all the Parshas Vayetze, you won't find a psucho or a stuma. There is no space, there's no rebach, there is no space between the Parshias. Now, what is the reason for that? Why should Parshas Vayetze not have any hefsik whatsoever, go straight from the beginning till the end without any hefsik at all? So the Balaturim and Taisus Avatayra, they say that because Yaakov Avinu ran away from Esav, and he ran away quietly, and he hid himself, so therefore the parasha is stuma. Stuma means it's closed off, it's not sort of like out in the open. Same way Yaakov Avinu ran away in a hidden way, not out in the open. So the parasha is stuma. It needs a little bit of understanding. What does that mean? Like, what does the parsha being stuma have to do with Yaakov Avinu running away in a hidden way? How do we understand that? So Chaim Shmulevitz has a mayor the kibshat over here. Chaim Shmulevitz says, what is the purpose of having a hefsik, having a space between one parsha and the other? Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed, he told Moshe to place a rebach, being parsha to parsha, to be able to think over the parsha. Not everything should be all at one shot. You learn a parsha, you think it over, you go weiter, learn another parsha, think that over. As everything has to be done with his baininess, with understanding. Parshas Vayetze is the parsha of Golus. Yaakov Avinu running away from Nesa, running away to a faraway land that's alien to him, ran away from Eretz Yisrael to Choron. It's the parsha of Golus. And by not having a rebach, a space between parsha and parsha, the Torah is teaching us a major lesson over here. That in the parsha of Golus, when things are dark, when we're not able to understand things, is the pshat, you can't focus on individual happenings. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? People have a tendency of focusing on individual happenings. Why did this person have to suffer? Why did this person have to do this? Why did that have to happen? World War II brought out a lot of questions. People had questions on different incidents that happened. And the emphasis is that when it comes to Golus, we're living in the dark, you cannot focus on individual incidents. You have to look at the entire picture. And the entire picture, to have a panoramic view of everything that happens, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. That's not something that we can focus on. And that's why Parshas Vayetze, which is the parasha of Golus, it's the parasha of darkness. Yaakov Avinu was Misachon Tfilas Arvis. Why that's the Tfilah of Golus? Yaakov Avinu in this matzav over here, he was the Maisa of a Simon Labonim, the Klal Yisrael in Golus. By the Torah, not placing a psucha and a stuma over here, it's telling us you cannot focus on individual incidents. You have to look at the entire parsha. You have to look at everything as one whole plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Parshas Vayetze is all together. There's no isolated pieces over here. It's all part of one big picture. Well, the Meir blocks that out. It tells her a shishivit. So the Meir to give heart. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ishbar lo yeda, uksil lo yoven ezais. The simple person, he doesn't know. The fool doesn't understand this. Lo yoven ezais doesn't understand this. What does that mean? It doesn't understand this. So he gives a marshal. Person walks into a big atomic plant. All the computers. It turns your head on. You drink that cup. You don't understand the first thing about what's going on over. It's a complicated plant. And he's being taken around to show him the entire plant. And he sees a little screw sticking out of the wall. So he asks his guy, what's this little screw over here? Like, what's that all about? Everything else you understand that you're focusing on this little screw that's sticking out. That's the pshat. The fool asks, what is this? He asks about isolated incidents. Why did this happen? What's this all about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan for the entire Bria. Every single human being is a complicated individual. And as the entire planet full of people, and not every generation is isolated either. Every generation, what happens in every generation is a long continuation of a chain of other generations. That's only something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could know, and we can't understand that. You have to look at the entire view. The Mela Parshas Vayetze is stuma, totally closed off. There's no Revach Ben Parsha LaParsha. You have to look at it, the entire picture. Could be that's what the Baal HaTurah means, that Yaakov Avinu, he hid himself. Where did he hide himself? He went into the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. Yaakov Avinu understood he's about to face a Golus. He's not going to understand things. And what is the Yetzer? What is the Yetzer to be able to survive in such a matzav? You have to sit and learn Torah. You sit and learn Torah, your mind doesn't focus like a regular human being with das b'nei yodam. You understand that there's a higher seichel over here. And if you understand there's a higher seichel, you may leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if you don't understand b'shas ma'isa, you realize it's part of a greater picture. This is why we don't have a revach being parsha l'parsha. Yaakov Avinu, when he wakes up from his Moedik dream, saw the Malachi of Elkim Oilam v'yordan bay. So he says, "Ochein yeish Hashem b'mokam hazeh." It's true, Hashem is in this place. Vo'onoichi lo yodati, and I did not know. So there's a moyudike pshat here from Reb Shimshon of Astropolia. Shimshon of Astropolia was a great mekubel. Unfortunately, he was killed during Khmelnytsky's pogroms during Zeris Tach Batat in 1608. He has Nifladik Yipshotim throughout different parashiyos in the Torah. Dr. Shimshon of Astropoli, it is known, Sefer Yecheskel, that up in Shemayim by the Kiseh HaKovid, you have the Dmus, you have the form of four different creatures. You have the Ari, the lion, that's the king of all of the Chayas. You have a Kruv. Kruv is a cherub, you know, like a little malach. Originally it was a shar, but Yecheskel was misfollowed that it should be a Kruv. You have a Nesha, you have the eagle, which is the king of all the birds. And then you have the face of Yaakov Avinu, which is Chokok Tachas Kisei HaKavod. As a matter of fact, the Medrash says, Sulo Mutzav Orza, Roshim Agir Shamaimo, Umalachi Elokim Olam V'Yordan Boy. The Malachim were running up and down because they saw the face of Yaakov Avinu down here. And then they knew that this is the same face that's up in Shamaim. So they were going back and forth comparing, look, the same person that's down here is the same person that's Chokuk Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov Avinu's face represents the face of perfection of mankind. This is the ultimate of what a person could reach. That's the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu. So you have an Ari, a Kruv, a Nesher, and you have Yaakov. So Yaakov Avinu said, Ochein yeish Hashem b'mokam hazeh. I always knew that there's Ochein. There's an Ari, there's a Kruv, and there's a Nesher, Rosh HaTevis. Vo'onoichi, that Yud that stands for Yaakov, lo yodati, that I never realized was here. For the first time he saw the form of the four Tzureis up there, and he saw himself as part of this beautiful formation by the Kiseh HaKovid. Ochein yeish Hashem b'mokam hazeh. I always knew that there's Ochein, Ari, Kruv, and Nesher. Onoichi lo yodati. The Yud, the Yaakov is there, that I'm there, that I never realized. Those are Shimshon of Astropolia. Yaakov Avinu arrives in Charan. And there's a very strange conversation that goes on between Yaakov and the Royim. Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, Vayelech Artsev and Ekedem. He sees that there's a well in the field, and there are three flocks of sheep. What does Yaakov mean to say? All of them gather there. Vayelechem Yaakov, and Yaakov said to them, Achai, my brothers, may I not tell where are you from? They said, we're from Choron. Do you know Lovan ben Nocha? They says, yes, we know him. Is everything good with him? Hashalom loy, you're fine. Then he starts giving them Musa. the day is still long. Well, yeah, you say Hanikna. It's not the time yet to gather up the cattle. Hasku asayru luchuru. So it's giving them musr. What are you people doing? You're lazy and woof on the job. Now let's picture to ourselves. You come to a foreign place. You don't know anybody there. Shalom aleichem. Aleichem shalom. How's everything? Fine. Yeah. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? You're supposed to be doing your job now. Lazy, good for nothings. What's with you? What happened over here? Yaakov Avinu is in a strange place. He meets these people for the first time, and right away he's giving them musar. And Pilat Ploy, what would the normal person's reaction be? Who are you to tell me musar? You know, you're a stranger, you get out of here. But that's not what their reaction was. They answered him, they said, you know, they said, they accepted the musar, but they gave an excuse. We can't, everybody has to get together and get the stone off. So, Sa'i Yaakov Avinu is giving them musar. But also, the way they answered, they accepted the musar. That's both the pella. What's the pshat? So, Rebbe Meir of Lachzatzal tells the Rish Yeshiva, and I found that other Svarim say the same thing. And that is that when a tzaddik, no matter where he is, the tzaddik wants to see Yashrus in the Bria. A tzaddik is so attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he loves Hashem so much, and he knows that the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that there should be Yashrus throughout the entire Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Yashrus by the Goyim also, not just by Klal Yisrael. Adarabah. The Vilna Gaon says, what does it mean, v'yareu mimecha? The simple pshat is, they'll be afraid of you. But the Vilna Gaon teaches, v'yareu. They will learn Yerushalayim mimecha from you. We're supposed to be the example to the rest of the world of how we have to conduct ourselves, how the rest of the world has to conduct themselves. But the whole world has to be a world of yashrus. The tzaddik that's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he knows that the Ratzon HaBayri is that there should be Yashrus all over. He can't be soivul, that there should be krumkak, there should be thievery, there should be dishonesty, anywhere, no matter where it is. So he'll walk over to a stranger, and he'll tell him, that's a chaim, you're not fearing yourself properly, you're not acting properly, you have a job to do. What about the reaction of the Roy Magnet? Just tell him to beat it. You know, who are you? You stranger here. What are you giving this musa for? And the key is, it's a tremendous lesson for all of us. How did Yaakov Avinu give them the musa? His introduction was, Achai, my brothers. Me'ayinatem, where are you from? He introduced himself as their brother, as a friend. He cares about them. When a person gives musa, and he shows he cares about the person he's giving musar to, that is a totally different effect. A totally different surah. And because of that introduction of Achai, is the tone in which he introduced himself, and the way he approached them, that changes it. They saw he's a sincere person, they saw that he's friendly to them, and he cares about them. They accepted the musar, except they had a good excuse. And Yaakov even proceeded, picked up the stone, and he allowed them to give the sheep to drink. But that's a very big in the kuda, sign chinuch, mechanuch, children, and sign dealing with other people. That if you have to give somebody else teichoche, comes time to give teichoche, you have to first of all do it in the best way possible. Not like you're speaking in a condescending way or trying talking down to the person. Lehepuch, davzach, durch schmoozen like friends, achai mi ayinatem. Once, I think I said over once over here, it says, leisisna sachicha bevavcha. What is the connection between the two? Don't hate your brother, give him musar. So one of the Mefarshim, the Avnei Ezel, says, when can you give somebody musar if you truly love him in your heart? If you love him, if you have emes dika ahava, then it comes out sincere, kamayim upon him, upon him, he's going to accept it, mitoich ahava, vorem hayoitzim min alev, nichnosim alev. If on the other hand, there is a little bit of a sinner there, and you have an axe to grind with him, that's going to come out in the teichacha also, and then he won't accept it. So, before you have to make sure that there's not a drop of sin in your heart. And with that, he answers a stira in Gemara's. The Gemara says that the reason why Bayis Sheni was destroyed was because they didn't give each other musar. But we know that there's another Gemara in Masechtas Yuma that says that Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. there's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. So he says both Gemaras, not only are they not a stira, but they complement each other. Because they were sinas chinam, they weren't able to give each other musr. Had there been a hava between the two, then they would have been able to give each other musr, and then the madrega of Klal Yisrael would have been lifted up to a high madrega. They wouldn't have had to have the korban. But because there was sin inside, they weren't able to do it. Yaakov Avinu's musr over here is Achai, my brothers, and Memelo, they accepted the musr, and they went on to Shalom. Vayikra Hashem HaMokam Ahu Beisel. This goes back to before. The Mokam upon which Yaakov Avinu rested, where he slept, it was Beisel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, Yaakov Avinu was in a place called Luz, which was towards the north of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Har HaMoriah, he uprooted it, and brought it to Luz. So comes Yaakov Avinu was on the Mokam HaMikdash, and he was on Luz at the same time, and he named that place Beisel. So in the north there's a city that was Beisel, which Yaakov Avinu in Beisel, but Ulam Luz Shem Ho'ir L'Rishayna. Luz was the name of the city originally. Why would the Torah tell us this fact? If today it's called Beisel, what is it Negev L'Maisa to me if originally it was called Luz? There's a beautiful pshat here from Rabbi Yashiv Zilbazunishtag saying, beautiful pshat. We know from Chazal that Luz was a place where the Malach HaMavis did not have any shlita. Malach HaMavis did not have any power over Luz. People lived there forever. For whatever reason, they did a chesed once. Luz was a place where people lived forever. So the question is, whatever happened to Luz? You don't hear of it. You know, people should be flocking there. If that's a place where you live forever, it should be the most famous city in the world. People should be flocking there, but nothing ever came of it. You don't see that it became famous. What's the pshat? The teretz is, Yaakov Avinu established, to go to a place where you live forever, there's no such thing as living forever in Olam Hazeh. That's not true life, living forever. So your body lives forever, therefore what? Yaakov Avinu established, you want to know the true source of Nitzchias, how to live on forever, Beisel. You have to be in the house of Hashem. You're Isaac in Torah, you're Isaac in Mitzvahs, you're Isaac in Chesed. That's the only thing that lasts forever. Ruchnias is the only thing that lasts forever. A body living down here, even if it's forever, that is not Nitzchias. So Yaakov Avinu established, you want to know what eternity is Beisel. Davening in the Beis HaKnesses, learning in the Beis Medrash, doing mitzvahs. Ulam Luz Shem Ho'il Rishayna. Originally, people thought that Nitzchias is living physically forever. Yaakov Avinu was mevatel that. The person lives on forever, and what happens is he has tzaras forever. Down here, this world is full of nisyanos, it's full of tests and tribulations. Emesdik and Nitzchias that lives on forever is basic. And he brings a ride from a Gemara. The Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech one day he saw the Malach HaMavis. He sees the Malach HaMavis was depressed. So he asks the Malach HaMavis, what are you so sad about today? So he says, because these two of your Misharsim, two of your secretaries, when Hashemayim, they told me to take their neshamas away, and I can't get to them. You know, so Shlomo HaMelech says, I bet the Malach HaMavis is after them, I better save them. So he sent them off to Luz. He knew in Luz that they're going to be able to live on forever. The other Malach HaMavis doesn't have any shlita. And as they were at the gates of Luz, the Malach HaMavis plucked them away. He came back the next day. The Malach HaMavis and Shlomo HaMelech sees his mamas. He's in great spirits. He says, what happened? He says, I caught them. She says, why? It was Nigzer Min HaShamayim that Luz is the place where they're supposed to die, at the gates of Luz. I wasn't able to get them over here, but it was Nigzer Min HaShamayim that at the gates of Luz I should be able to get them. As I'll say from over there, Raglin the Inish Inu HaRevin Bay. A lot of times, the feet of a person carry him to his final destination, to where it's Nigzer Min HaShamayim. So Luz is a great place, but a person can be on his way to Luz, and if his things are on him to be nifter by Luz, he'll be nifter by Luz. That is not necessarily a place of Nitzchias. Yaakov Avinu was Kaveya, Beisel is Nitzchias. Ulam Luz Shem Ho'il L'Rishayna. People originally were mistaken. They thought that Luz is a place of Nitzchias. Yaakov Avinu established the real Nitzchias is Beisel. Lavan, Yaakov Avinu, after 20 years of being by Laban, he finally decides, I've had enough. I've had enough. Time has come to leave. He saw that Laban was not acting with him as he did in previous days. His face had changed. His attitude has changed. He overheard Laban's sons saying that Yaakov Avinu stole all the money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to leave. He said, it's time to go. So while Laban was out with his own Asokim, Yaakov Avinu ran away with his entire family. Laban found out about it. He chases after him. And Laban tells him, Yesh le'el yodi lasus imachem ra. My God can give me the power to do bad with you. I could destroy you. V'lehei avicham amash omar elai. And the God of your father told me last night in a dream, Lamar, he shomer lecham midaber em Yaakov mitayvad ra. Watch yourself, do not speak to Yaakov good or bad. So the pasuk is mamash, a contradiction from the beginning till the end. First he says that my God has the power of doing, helping me do with you whatever I want. And then he says, and Hashem told me last night I'm not allowed to touch you. Which one is it? Do you have the power or don't you have the power? Mamash Teichi Deidibur, he says, I'm not allowed to touch you, when he had just said, my God has the power over you. So the Alter from the Vardy said over a Maisa to be Masber this. Apparently the story happened with himself. He was a tremendous Bala Muna and Bitochen. He was once waiting by a train station for the train. He didn't have a dime to his name. Didn't have a ticket. So the train is there waiting for passengers. The train arrives and people are starting to go on. And another Yid asks him, what are you waiting here for? The train is here. So he says, yeah, but I don't have a penny to my name. So he says, so what are you waiting here for? Have the Tachan HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mounting me a ticket. This guy looks at him like he's crazy. He's sitting here waiting. You don't have a penny. The train is here. And the train starts whistling its first whistle. It's time to leave. And the Alter is still sitting. It whistles a second time. So this guy, this Yid, can't be silent with the Alter sitting here. So he tells me, here, take it. I'll pay you for your ticket. Just get on the train. He gets on the train. He has his ticket. He's sitting in the train. And this fellow tells him, Shaita Sheva Oilam, if I wouldn't have given you money for the ticket, what would you have done? So the Alter said later on, the guy didn't realize that in the Shemaim, he was the one that they sent as a shliach to be mounting him with the ticket. Adarabim. It was his betochen in Hashem that was going that this fellow should do it. So Taikin Adibur, he sees that the Alter's betochen paid off, and Taikin Adibur, he says, Shaita Sheva Oilam. What's the pshat? A person could see the truth in front of his eyes, but he's not willing to part from his shita. This fellow believed that the guy was a shita for sitting there and having the time. Taking the deeper of his seeing that it worked, he's still not willing to part with his old beliefs. I was once master of this. You know, a person, his pair of shoes wears out. So, doesn't think twice. He gets rid of his old pair of shoes, he has a new pair of shoes. Not so hard to part with an old worn out pair of shoes. Furniture is already a little bit hard. You had it in your house for a little bit longer. It's a little bit hard to give away furniture, especially baby furniture. You remember when your kids were young, they used this. It's harder when a person moves out of a house where he lived for a long time because there's so many memories attached to the house. It's a much more difficult thing to move out of a house. He's much more attached to it. The hardest thing to do is if a person has shittas that he accumulated over many, many years, and they became part of him, that's kemat impossible to part with. That is mamash, like something that's very, very difficult. And that's what happened over here. Signing the mice with the Alter of the Bar, this fellow wasn't such a big Baal B'tochen. He thought that it was foolish for the Alter to sit here. So he saw mamash b'chush b'einayim that the B'tochen paid off, but still he felt he was a fool. It's the same thing with Lovin. Lovin had such belief in his Avodah Zarah, Toichi Deivimur. He tells Yaakov Avinu that your God appeared to me in a dream and he told me not to touch you, but my God still has power over you. He's not willing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that message, he's not willing to part with his Avodah Zarah. Same thing with Balaam. And by the way, Chazal say Bilam Zeh Lovin. There's a shayla if it literally means that Bilam was Lovin, or was he descended, was he a Gilgal of Lovin, but whatever it is, Bilam is riding on his donkey, and his donkey starts talking to him. And L'chavir, that should have been the biggest Musar Haskel. Stop what you're doing and turn back. Do not go to give Klal Yisrael a cloak. What does Purim do? Carries on a regular conversation with the Chamar as if like this is a normal thing that a donkey is talking to him. And it Bechlau made no reishim on whatsoever. You can see the biggest nace in the world. The Pi Ha'osan was created during Sheishis, he made Bereishis, especially for this Tachlis, one of the greatest wonders in the history of the world. But it does not stop Bilam from doing what he has to be doing. Why? What he wants to be doing. Because Bilam was so attached to his ruts and he wasn't able to part with it. That's what happened over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come to you in a dream and warn you, do not say anything to Yaakov, good or bad, but you still believe that your Avodah Zarah can help you. That's the stira in Torah Kedei Dibur. After Yaakov Avinu, he's misnatzel, tangzach, ois with lovin. He says, listen, I worked for you for so many years. In the coldest weather, in the hottest weather, I was a faithful servant to you. And you changed my schar who knows how many times. Aseres Mayim 100 times, I'll say 1,000 times. You changed it and tried to cheat me, and I still worked faithfully for you. If something was stolen, I always replaced it. And now you think, now you're coming after me like this. So if the Yaakov Avinu has a very valid time, what does Lovin say? Vayan Lovin vayomer Yaakov. Habonos b'noisai, the daughters are my daughters. Vabonim bonai, your children really belong to me. Vatsayim tsayimi, v'chol asher atoroya liu. Which, it doesn't make sense. Yaakov Avinu here is tiny to him. I worked so hard for you. I worked so faithfully for you. And what I have here, I deserve. This was my payment. And Lovin talks to him as if nothing exists. As if Yaakov Avinu didn't say a thing. What's the pshat? I mean, Lovin wasn't a totally irrational man. What's the pshat? Brisker Rav said that he once met the Chofetz Chaim, I believe it was by a train station. And he got to speak with the Chofetz Chaim for a while. And the Chofetz Chaim told him over the following story. Also, he said it about a Zokain, but it really happened with himself. He said that I needed I had to get a visa to go to a different country. It may very well be because he was planning on moving to Eretz Yisrael. This was already when he was in his old age. And he goes to the office where you have to get the visas, and the fellow tells him, I need a birth certificate. Chofetz Chaim is already in his 90s. So go present the birth certificate from 90-something years ago. Who knows if he even had birth certificates then? So I'm sorry, I don't have my birth certificate. He said, no birth certificate? Sorry, can't help you. He says, there's no other aids? He said, oh yeah, there's another aids. If you bring witnesses that remember that you were born on that day, then we could allow it without a birth certificate. That means that for people to remember the day that he was born, you have to have people that were about 100-something years old that remember from their youth that the Chofetz Chaim was born on that day when he wasn't yet the Chofetz Chaim. He was just a little baby then. Right? There was nothing yet Chofetz Chaimic about him. Of course, he was still mad at Kedusha when he was born. But Lamaisa, there was nothing, people didn't realize anything special about him. How in the world is he supposed to bring people that old that will remember when he was born? So Chofetz Chaim told the Brisker Rav, what did this person want from me? Didn't he understand that I couldn't bring a birth certificate from 90-something years ago? And didn't he understand that I couldn't bring Edim from that long ago? Like, what did he want? Why couldn't he accommodate me? The same devil was the Chofetz Chaim got his visa a different way. But what was the pshat? Why couldn't he accommodate me? So he said, if the Polak would believe that a Yid has a right to exist down here on this world, then he would be accommodating to me. And then he would talk and treat me and try and see to it that I get what I need. But the Polak and the Russian and the German, they do not believe that a Yid has a right to exist on this world. Halacha Esav Shani Yaakov, the guy hates Yaakov. That's a Matthias. And Mamela, if deep down inside he believes that a Yid doesn't have a right to exist down here, I'm not looking, I don't care how you get your visa. So you won't get your visa, I don't care. You're not an equal here, you don't belong here like I do. Mamela, I'm not believed to accommodate you. This is what Chofetz Chaim told the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav said that this klal for him, and this really explains today. You look at Eretz Yisrael, I was just reading about the state of Israel. How advanced they are in technology, in medicine, in per capita income. They are so far advanced than any other country in the Middle East. Every other country in the Middle East is literally pere odom. Pere odom. They live in dire poverty. The riches are concentrated by the fat princes, you know, and the rest of the country, you know, they live in garbage dumps. And here you have a state of Israel, a little dot on the map, a little dot on the map, and it is so advanced in every field. And life over there is so superior to all of these other countries. The world can't be mocked that. The United Nations is not mocked that. And every time something happens, it's the fault of Israel. And that's the aside. If the Welt would believe that a Yid has an equal right down here with everybody else, then they'd be gairus us and talk, we have rights, and so on. But deep down inside, Esav saying to Yaakov, they're not willing to see that. They're not willing to accommodate us. We have no right to exist down here. That's the pshat of the Chofetz Chaim in this pasuk. Yaakov Avinu had murdered the Ketanis. Yaakov Avinu said, I worked so hard for you. I was my nefesh for you. I earned all of this. Lavan doesn't even answer that. I'm not going to answer that. I worked and so on. He's not even going to risk that. If you're an equal of mine, then I'm going to handle you like an equal. But you're not an equal. You don't deserve to live here. The Mela, that's why Lavan is not going to risk it. That's the pshat. That's the uptight in this pasuk over here. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Yeah. 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 Ye